All right, here we go. Yes, it is back for another week. Grand final time in our NRL Live episode number 59. Tigers MS with us as always. How are you, mate?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, very well, very, very well. And Pete, how are you going, mate?
We're going to take goals, looking forward to a big match on Sunday.
It really should be a great match. Fourth time the Roosters and the Eagles will meet this year. Don't know if that would have happened much in the records books. It's good to be back. I know we missed a few weeks there in the finals time, but great to do this grand final preview show. We're also going to wrap up the season, look at your team, how they went. Supercoach, well, we'll talk a bit about how that all ended up shaking down. And also mention some things. Let's look at how that NRL integrity group is going. We've got a number of things to discuss there as well. And don't forget, of course, our favourite segment, World of Sport, the best of for the year. And I have got a beauty, so make sure you listen through to the show. Let's start out with the Supercoach finals and Tigers MS. Corey Parker in the end ran away with the top score. He simply was outstanding all season long and ended up with 1936 points and a clear winner from Andrew Fifita and then Cameron Smith. But again, the big, the forwards and the props in the second rowers getting the big numbers there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it went that way. Eventually, it was looking like it was just going to be a hookers-only kind of game. Midway through, there was about, I think, four or five in the top ten. But, yeah, with, like, guys who can... It's been proved guys who can kick goals like Corey Parker and put up the numbers in terms of metres gained, tackles and that kind of thing are worth their weight in gold, really.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you know, the money that they were coming out at the start of the year, $366,000 for Parker, $372,000 for Smith, I mean, worth every penny. But Fifita was probably the real bargain out of those lot, $281,300. Looking behind them, James Maloney and Jonathan Thurston, we talked about the halves, they did a good job coming in fourth and fifth, respectively. Sonny Bill Williams then sixth, Adam Reynolds seventh, Billy Slater eighth, Isaac Luke, the second hooker getting there in there after Cameron Smith in at ninth, and Jamie Lyon, I thought, for a centre and winger, an outstanding a score of 15.48, Tigers MS.
Yeah, Lyon was amazing, actually. He scored a lot of points and did a lot of the little stuff, but also, he created a lot of that stuff by himself. He wasn't just put into a gap, but he worked pretty hard all season, and I think that, yeah, he was, well, I don't know, if he wasn't in one of your top five picks at the start of the year, then he should be for next season.
Yeah, the guys to look forward to for next season we'll go through shortly as well. Corey Parker actually got the best point average as well, 88, from Cameron Smith, 83.19. Paul Gallen, a guy that was brilliant, 80 over 80 points average, but he just couldn't stay on the park, only playing the 14 games. Robbie Farrow, another one there, suffering from not playing many games. And a guy that only played three games but really impressed was Kyle Felt. He averaged almost 70, so he's definitely one to look forward to next year. If we do look at the last 4 weeks to get a bit of a gauge, we did mention, of course, Parker, but a guy, Josh Mansour, there did very well the last 4 weeks, and Matt Daly Cherry Evans as well. One guy who won't be there next year but did do very well to finish his career on a high was Matt Bowen. But looking at guys again like James Maloney, Isaac Luke, and even Josh Reynolds, there some guys that really put up the big numbers towards the end of the year. And another one I'd just like to mention, Tigers MS, is Anthony Milford. We don't know if he's going to be with the Raiders or with Brisbane, but wherever he is, he could be a point-scoring whiz next season.
Yeah, that's definitely a definite pick. I think wherever Milford plays, if he's in the starting lineup, then, he's definitely going to create something for you, whether it's be it Brisbane or the Raiders.
Well, it was a lot of fun this year, Supercoach. We're going to do it again next year, of course, all here on NRL Live. And you can find us on the iTunes. Just type in NRL Supercoach or just go to www.pauliegsports.com. It's going to be even bigger and better next season. But let's move to some of the matters that have happened over the past, 6 weeks. And the NRL Integrity Unit have certainly had their work cut out for them, Pete, particularly the Todd Greenberg saga. Can you sort of take us through that and the end result in regards to Todd Greenberg and the potential cover-up with the Ben Barber incident earlier this year?
Yeah, well, it appears that the public, well, we don't really know, but it appears that the public are not being told the full story about the reasons that Ben Barber was stood down earlier this year. We're led to believe at the time that there was an attitude problem or an alcohol problem, that he was suffering as a result of some personal problems off the field. But now it's apparently there's other incidents coming to light, which I can't sort of really go into too much, I guess, but it appears as though there is some truth to them, and if so, I think Todd Greenberg, who was the chief executive of the Bulldogs at the time, and he's very, very highly regarded for the work he's done for that club and the game since coming to the Bulldogs a few years ago, has got to take some of the blame for it. I don't think it looks very good for the NRL that this guy's participated in some sort of cover-up, and I believe that the Broncos are also not very happy about it either, because this all came out very shortly after they signed him for next year, so it's not good for the Broncos. They've got a very clean skin image, basically a no dickheads policy, and to pick up someone with Barber's history coming out is not good for them, and it's not a good look for the game. We need some transparency out there.
Yeah, Todd Greenberg has joined the NRL, and then all this has come out, perhaps that there was a bit of a cover-up. I guess in the paper there was a woman published with a black eye or a bloodied lip, I think it might have been. There hasn't been any allegation made by either party, so I guess that the NRL, I know that CEO David Smith said, well, there's not much else we can do beyond that, but it's not a good look for the game and at all. And realistically, if you look at what the AFL are doing with the USADA, and Tigers and Mess will move into the USADA stuff now, really, but they've sort of taken that the first step, I guess, in trying to stamp it out. Meanwhile, the NRL is still sitting back. It just seems like waiting forever.
Yeah, look, it seems endemic of the NRL, regardless of who's in charge of it. They just wait to see what happens, and then they start, doling out the punishment or whatever it may be. Look, as for the USADA thing, look, it really has... It's gone on all year. Mm. And they say they are closer to, a result or a resolution or whatever they want to call it. But it still hasn't happened. We're up to the grand final. We've run a whole season. Thank Christ the Sharks aren't in the grand final. Because
that'll never happen.
You could almost guarantee they'd win it and then they'd get it taken off them. Mm. If that's what's going to happen. But, yeah, look, it's basically, it was announced too early and it's taken far too long for anything to happen. Basically, the whole season has been played under a cloud. Mm. And that's been reflected in crowd numbers that have been down 2%. It's very difficult. I just wish that they would expedite the process and get it happening. And if there's punishments to hand out to clubs or players, as they already have done with Shandor Earl, then do it. But apart from that, I just wish they would hurry up and do it so everyone could concentrate on next season. There's a World Cup and everything else, so there's still plenty more football left in the year.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is interesting. We talk about the two grand final teams, and we'll talk about the match shortly, but they've both been named in regards to this. I mean, Manly were named early on, and the Roosters just named with Shandor Earl coming out. And, Pete, I'm not sure if you saw the tell-all interview or not, but what do you make of the Shandor Earl admission and now what he's come out and said about others?
Well, I didn't see the interview in full, but I did hear some reviews of it, and apparently Shandor came across quite well. We've got to remember that he's a young guy here, and I don't know him from a bar of soap. None of us do, but I really have issues with Mr. Danks. He is apparently suing Channel 9, and I think he may be suing News Limited as well for some of the allegations that have come his way. And as Tigers MS has said there, we really need a fast resolution to all of this. It doesn't look it's not a very good look for the game, and it needs to be sorted out ASAP. I have some sympathy for Shandor Earl, actually.
Yeah, well, it seems like that he's copping the brunt at the moment, but I guess we'll see what happens. And look, if things happen during the off-season, we'll cover it here on NRL Live. So just keep going on the website, www.pooleygsports.com. We're going to have other things up there, you know, other sports, the NFL, American football is in full swing right now, so there'll be stuff up about that, and potentially cricket and other links to some of the other sports. And you can follow us on Twitter as well, at PaulieGSports or at TigersMS78, to get all the info. And look, if there's anything big happening, we'll chuck a show or two together during the off-season, so just keep checking us every now and then. But let's keep moving along to our annual review. And, Pete, we're going to start with you. The Parramatta Eels are pretty awful season for them.
Absolutely. Flatlined. Ran last this year, last year before, second last the year before that. Now they've had their coach, their big signing, Ricky Stewart, walk out at the end of the season, which I think is, well, you know, it's another one of these get-out clauses. I don't know who in the game these days doesn't have a get-out clause. I personally think that I can't see, unfortunately for Parra fans, I can't see them doing much better next year. A couple of good signings, Corey Norman. They got Nathan Peets from South Sydney, which is a very good buy. And Neil Hunt's son from South Sydney, Justin Hunt, is coming home, which is good to see for them. However, they really need another couple of big signings, I think, to get them going and have a united board. It appears the whisper is now that Brad Arthur will be the coach of Parramatta. He had some success late last year after he was named the replacement for Steve Kearney as the interim coach. So hopefully things will get a little bit better, but I honestly can't see it in the short term. I predict them to be down the bottom of the ladder again next year.
Yeah, they've also got the young Hopewadi going there. And,
of course, yep.
I think Lee Mossop, is that right?
So there is conjecture about Hopewadi, because once again he has a get-out clause. I believe it was Nathan Peets and Justin Hunt.
Well, Liam Foran signed for Parramatta today as well.
So that one shouldn't have a get-out clause, you'd think. Tigers MS, the West Tigers, yours and my team had a pretty awful season as well. Do you want to be able to wrap it up for us?
Look, it started bad, and it kept on going. Basically, look, injuries and form were a real big factor, and the injuries, obviously, every club gets them. The Tigers had a lot of them at once. The form, and when you have injuries and your key players are out of form, then nothing's going to go right for you. Benji Marshall had a dog of a year. Robbie Farrow was good, but he wasn't great. And a bunch of other guys were well below their usual. Look, the bright spots for the Tigers were the rookies that they unearthed. Tim Simone is not really a rookie per se, but it was his first really full season. He did quite well. Nofa Lamu did very well in his rookie season. And Luke Brooks looked like he had plenty to offer when he played his singular game for the year. Look, I can see the Tigers getting better next year. I'm not sure if they're going to be top eight. They're putting a hell of a lot of pressure on a kid who's going to be 19. With absolutely no experience in the halfback role. I'm not even sure who's going to play 5'8". Maybe they're going to get better is a hopeful look, but perhaps I think they'll finish better than 15th.
Well, definitely when you look at those teams in the bottom eight and saying who might come up into the top eight, I think the Tigers are one that could really flip the season because they've got the players to do it, and Luke Brooks looks like the real deal. If he can stay healthy and they can keep their pack healthy and giving him, I guess, a bit of room to organise and play make, anything's possible. Another team that showed flashes this year were the St. George Dragons. Pete, your team, got with the likes of Josh Dugan there. They do have some possibilities. Also bought Gareth Widdop for the new season. Can you wrap up their year for us?
Absolutely. Well, I remember at the beginning of the year, I was most offended on the first episode when you predicted the Dragons to run last. It turns out there are only two results off that. It was an abysmal year. There is no other way to describe it. Similarly to the Tigers, star 5'8" Jamie Soward, sacked from first grade after 6 weeks, left the club, boom, gone. Matt Cooper out injured for three quarters of the year, unfortunately. Absolutely lifeless in attack, which is tragic with two great wingers, Nightingale and Morris. Their standout player for the year was Trent Merrin, without a doubt. This man, every week, absolutely put in. Great ball, and great getting the ball away. For next year, Dylan Farrell is a good signing. Young Raider, Thompson is also another good one. And, of course, Widdop and Sam Williams. Apparently, they've announced Paul McGregor as attack coach for next year, so... I don't know what to make of that. Personally, I think they need a new first grade coach. I don't think Steve Price is up to it. They will, I think, improve a little bit early next year, and if they don't in the first 6 weeks, I think Steve Price is gone, but I can't see him making the eight anyway.
Yeah, he's head well and truly on the chopping block there at St George. A team that really fell away at the end of the year, and obviously with the turmoil, Tigers are messed with the Canberra Raiders. So can you sum up that?
Oh, well, look, basically, look, the Raiders were sitting fairly pretty midway through the season, and judging from previous years, they mostly come home with a wet sail sort of thing. Unfortunately, it was the opposite this time around. The mast broke off, and then they started sinking pretty fast. And I think the biggest problem is, and I'm not sure if it's a culture thing at the Raiders or it's just where they're getting their players from. But it seems to be, earlier Pete mentioned a no dickhead policy. Your Canberra must just have a dickhead policy. Honestly, they have so many players that are just not right upstairs. I'm not sure what's going on or whether the kids they pick up are from, tough upbringings or anything like that. I'm not sure what the deal is, but they really struggle in that department of just getting a nice, normal guy who can play a bit of football. I mean, they did okay with Jared Croker and that kind of thing, but you can go through the list of players who have been touted as something great and then left since.
Unfortunately, we don't have all night.
Yeah, we don't have all night for that. Look, the big question mark for next season for Raiders is Ricky Stewart. Yes, he's done some good things at a few clubs. The Roosters, of course, where he was pretty much handed a team, but the Sharks, he did pretty well to bring them up. I think they finished equal first and ended up third on for and against one of the years he was there. But with Parramatta, he treaded water and went nowhere. It's going to be tough for the Raiders. Look, I actually think that they'll improve. Whether they'll improve to the point where they'll make the eight, who knows? If they follow their form line from previous years, then they'll make the finals in 2014, because they tend to make one, miss one.
Yeah, and the Broncos, they had their worst year ever, I believe. Pete, how do you sum that up?
Real disappointment for north of the border. Consistently in the eights. One, was it six premierships, I think? And always the best Queensland team. And, you know, for them to finish 3 points out of the eight is a massive failure in their books. I don't know that they're looking so good for next year. They seem to be a really slow team this year. I thought one of their standout players was Josh Hoffman. Justin Hodges, when he was out injured, they really, really miss him. Their win-loss record changes dramatically without his interest out in the centres.
Yeah.
Around the halves, they just seem to be lacking as well, with the dropping of Peter Wallace during the year, who subsequently moved to Penrith. They're trying to correct that issue with speed and so on next year with the signing of the enigmatic, shall we say, Ben Barber, and the possible signing of Anthony Milford from the Raiders. That's still open for debate. Anthony Griffin is apparently popular with the players, but I tell you what, if he's not up to scratch in the first 6 or 8 weeks next year as well, I think he could be in a spot of bother.
He's definitely another one on the chopping block with Stephen Price. And I guess you've got to say Tigers are messed with the Warriors. Matt Elliott could also could also be there because another 4 years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, Matt Elliott started the year. I mean, I think Kevin Lott came out on Twitter supporting Tony Iro, who was apparently in with a show of getting the job, and he was very popular with players. Lock was very disappointed that he didn't get it. Matty Elliott came in, and look, it looked like a disaster for the Warriors from round one when they got towed up by Parramatta. Look, they came good, the Warriors, for a little while. They started playing a little bit more direct, actually, using their body size and that kind of thing. It was a poor start. It was a strong middle, and a bit of a petered out to nothing in the end. But I think Matt Elliott starts the season in 2014 like he did in 2013, and the Warriors will have Tony Iro as their coach.
Well, speaking of inconsistencies, another inconsistent team were the Penrith Panthers. Pete, can you sum up their year?
Yeah, although they finished outside the eight, I think this has been a reasonably successful year for Penrith. At the end of last year, with the loss of players such as Michael Jennings and the well-publicised loss of other players previously, like Wade Graham and so on, down to Cronulla. A bit of a clean-out out there with Ivan Cleary and Phil Bill coming in. They purchased well with James Seguiara in particular, and they've got some good young players and a couple of signings next year. It'd be interesting to see how Peter Wallace and Jamie Soward go together out there. I think that this club is actually building something. I think that they will get a few more wins next year, and my tip at this stage will be for them to make the bottom half of the eight next year.
Yeah, I think that's a fair tip too. I agree with you. A team that could be there or thereabouts next year are the Titans. Tigers MS, can you sum up their year?
Yeah, look, honestly, the Titans probably, when you look at how they went, they probably should have made the eight. End of the day. Look, the young halves were... Well, I mean, I tipped them to finish last, so I'm clearly am a terrible judge. But the young halves absolutely dominated that team. Albert Kelly and Aiden Caesar, when they were in... They were in the side. They had a whole different look to them. Whenever they were out of it, they looked pedestrian. When they were in it, they looked like they had many, many try-scoring options. Look, Dave Taylor started to come good at the end of the year as well. Yeah. Jamal Idris was looking really good, and then he got injured, and I think it was done for the year, and he wasn't seen again. And that really hurt him, I think, especially defensively. Mm. Look, I think the Titans will go up into the finals next year. The only question mark is if they have a bad start to the year, I think John Cartwright's not going to get close to seeing out the new contract.
Wow. Wow. Well, a team with a new coach in Paul Green is North Queensland Cowboys, and pretty unlucky 2 years in a row, Pete. Just how do you make that wild year in North Queensland?
It was a weird one for the Cowboys this year. They were stone motherless last at one point, about a third of the way through the season. They then just got a little bit better and then sacked their coach and then won six in a row and made the finals and were very, very unlucky to miss out the seventh well-publicised try to Cronulla on the seventh tackle. As has been often said, champion halfback, champion pair of front rowers, this team should have done, but realistically should have done better than they did.
Yeah.
Have the massive ability, great home record. Whether a relatively inexperienced coach like Paul Green is the right move, I personally think they should have gone for someone more experienced. So I think there's a bit of player power going on up there in the Cowboys. But there's just something not quite right up there. And everything, I know Thurston is a great player, but it seems like if you can put some emphasis on Thurston, or Thurston has an off day, then the Cowboys can't win. They've made a couple of good purchases, including Cameron King. They were down a hooker this year. It's really open. I think they'll either finish bottom half of the eight again or probably just outside the eight with their new coach. And as Tigers RMS said, Titans coming in, Panthers coming in, Cowboys probably to drop out of the eight.
Well, Tigers MS, the Bulldogs, even though they finished in the top eight, they'd be saying we had a poor year, I assume.
Yeah, look, the Dogs started off very poorly, and they, I mean, it was well publicised. They had some inter-club issues happening with Ben Barber and with a few other players. At the start, look, to be honest, I don't think they had a whole lot of team harmony this year, and I think that hurt them. Last season, they looked like a real unit, and like especially you could tell on the forwards, everyone wanted to play for each other. Everyone didn't want to let anyone down. They were hunting in a pack, that kind of stuff. This year it was very disjointed, that kind of thing. And so I'm thinking, with that in mind, Barber going, they've lost a strike weapon, not in a strike weapon, but just that extra option as a ball player. I actually think, and I'm going to make this prediction now, and it's going to fail, but they're going to miss the eight.
I think they're on the slide too. We talked about the Sharks earlier, Pete. A very emotional season, I guess, for them. How do you sort of wrap that up?
I think this guy Shane Flanagan is a very, very good coach. Went there a couple of years ago, and he's improved them little by little each of the years that he's been. With him getting sacked early in the year and then reinstated with the whole Asada thing, it must have been extremely difficult for them. They've got some tremendous players, led by the captain, New South Wales captain, Paul Gallen. I think they had a very good year. They would have expected, with us then, they would have expected to make the eight. But they never really looked like going to that next level to be up with Melbourne and the Roosters and South Sydney and so on. So, I think they had a decent year, and I would be very, very surprised if they're not there and thereabouts again next year. I don't think, once again, they'll threaten the top runners, but I think they'll be in the eight for sure.
Tigers a mess. The defending premier's never easy to turn around. In fact, hasn't been done since 1992-93 with the Brisbane Broncos, the Melbourne Storm. They fell pretty short this year.
Yeah, they did. Look, and I mean, we're going to be harsh markers on the Melbourne Storm because they've set such a high bar for themselves in the past. Look, I think one of their issues is it's an ageing team. Like, yep. Cam Smith is getting older, Billy Slater's getting older, and Cooper Cronk, even though he won the Daly M this season, they're all getting older. Their forwards are getting older, Hoffman. And, you know, it might be a case of Bellamy's been there for a while. He could be getting stale. The players could be getting stale, you know, a bit of familiarity, breeding contempt and that kind of stuff. Look, I don't think they're going to go as well next year. I think they're going to drop to the bottom half of the eight. Mainly on, they really, I'm not sure if Brett Finch is coming back for another season.
He's retiring.
He's retiring? Okay, then I have no idea who their option for 580 is.
Might be that young Ben Hampton.
Yeah, that's a lot of... I mean, I know he's got three great players around him, but it's still a tough gig to be that extra ball player in Melbourne. I don't see him being as successful, and I think they'll be in the bottom part of the eight.
Well, Pete, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, it was a fantastic year, but you've got to say not making the grand final has to, in the end, go down as a disappointment.
Absolutely. I tipped South Sydney to win the premiership earlier this year, at the beginning of the year, and I was pretty confident most of the way through, to be quite honest. They then seemed to hit a bit of a rut, I have to say, and I don't think they completely recovered from when Greg Inglis went down injured in State of Origin, and they lost a couple of games to the Cowboys, quite comprehensively, and to the Dragons at Golden Point. He came back, but I don't think he was quite the same player, or whether opposition coaches had worked him out. He certainly wasn't given the latitude, and I thought he, quite honestly, went missing in attack the other night. To finish in a grand final qualifier 2 years in a row in this competition is an outstanding achievement, nonetheless. I'm wondering about the Rabbitohs. They would be an interesting team to watch next year. If they can have another lucky year with injuries, I think Michael Maguire will have them focused, and they should be in the top four once again, is my prediction. They really haven't lost a lot. The core players, all the Burgess boys, Sutton, Reynolds, Inglis, etc., will still be there next year. So I'm sure they'll be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, the curse of 89 looms over them, though.
They've got to be careful because the West Tigers as well had 2 years making the top four, and or the last four, and no grand finals. And it all fell apart. So a lot of pressure on Souths. And finally, Tigers MS, Newcastle Knights, probably the surprise team of the top eight there.
They were a big surprise. Look, and I thought they'd just go out first week of the finals. But they seem to be really gelling as a team. It seemed to be, and no disrespect meant to Kurt Gidley, but it seemed like Wayne Bennett seemed to have to shoehorn him into the team because he was a player that was too good to leave out, but he didn't really have a set position in the side.
No.
So he's playing a bit of hooker and a bit of half and all that kind of stuff. And they were really gelling as a team towards the end of the year, and as proved, like making it to the second last week. But only problem is that they're just old. They're old, and when they run out of gas, they get found out big time, as shown. This is a tough one. If they finish better than what they finished this year, I'll be very surprised. Yeah. I still think they'll make the eight, though. It's going to be a tough one. Wayne Bennett is a great coach, obviously, and he could have something in the bag. I'm not sure what, but he could have something.
Well, Tyrone Roberts looked very good at the end of the year there, and they've got two excellent young centres as well. So I guess they'll be relying on some of their youth to come through. They'll need it for sure. Guys, let's keep moving on.
Like this is... pack it a must, like they pack two.
Yes. Let's keep moving along. It is NRL Live. You can find us at PolyGSports, www.polygsports.com, or on the iTunes. Just simply subscribe. Type in NRL Supercoach to find us. The grand final is here. The Roosters v. the Seagulls. And let's go through the two teams. Anthony Minicello, captain and fullback for the Roosters. Daniel Tupou, Roger Tavares, check on the wings. Michael Jennings, Sean Kenny down the centres. James Maloney, 5'8". Mitchell Pearce, halfback. Jared Rear, Hargrave, Sam Moa, the props. Jake Friend, hooker. Aiden Guerra, Sonny Bill Williams, second row. Frank Paul, Nuisala, lock. Interchange, Daniel Mortimer, Mitchell Orbison, Isaac Liu, and Dylan Napper, while the Eagles have gone with Brett Stewart at fullback, George Tafua, David Williams on the wing, Jamie Lyon captain in the centres with Steve Mattire, Kieran 4 and 5/8, Daly, Terry Evans halfback, Glenn Stewart lock, Justin Horror, Anthony Watmo second row, Brent Kite, Brenton Lawrence props, Matt Ballon the hooker, interchange David Gower, Jamie Brewer, Tom Simons, George Rose with James Hassan and Peter Huku named on a 6-man extended bench, referees Shane Hayne and Ben Cummins. Pete, which way is it going to go?
I've thought about this one long and hard. Read through both team lineups. I think Manly have done much better than I thought they would this year. I must admit, I thought the Roosters were an absolute mystery turn at the beginning of the year. I couldn't pick them which way they're going to go. As it turns out, Trent Robinson has been an absolute, masterstroke above anything else they've done. I'm tipping the Roosters. They have beaten Manly 3 times this year. Their defence I've been massively impressed with. It's been absolutely incredible at times this year. Yeah. I think they've held teams to nil 6 times, including a recent opposition, Manly. Manly have scored 16 points against them in 3 games this year, I believe. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Roosters forwards, particularly led by Jared Herrera-Hargreaves, if he can keep his temper in place and his arms down, I think they'll get over the top of the Manly forwards. But the question mark is over the Roosters' halves. I think Manly have a quality advantage there in Cherry Evans over Mitchell Pearce, but Pearce has been playing better than I ever thought he could in the last 6 weeks. I'll give it to the Roosters in a close one by 4.
Tigers MS, how do you see it going?
Yeah, look, basically I haven't seen a more even on paper at least grand final in a long time, actually.
Yeah.
Probably since maybe 2005, which coincidentally is the last time that a team had played another team 3 times already in the season before the grand final. In that year, the Tigers won all 4 against the Cowboys. So that could be ominous for Manly. Just looking at the names and pairing them up and, you know, matching them one-on-one, yeah, really, it's a really tough pick. I'm just going to say Manly because I think they've got the toughness. If they take it to the Roosters early in the forwards, a la the Sharks kind of play, They could trouble them if the Roosters got on top within 20 minutes, as in, territorially, I think the Roosters will do the job.
The Roosters should win. They're the better team. They've beaten them three times already this year. But grand final, big match, gaming. Manly have been there and done that. I don't know if the Roosters' halves have that ability. Maybe they'll make a step in that right direction come Sunday. It all comes down to that, I think. Maloney and Pierce versus Foran and Cherry Evans. I'll tip Manly, but I really think the Roosters should win as long as they put it all together and their halves play to the top of their ability, and maybe not like they have done in Origin this year, where they kind of went missing when they were needed most. Guys, it's been a great season. Thank you so much again for doing this each and every week. You know, we do it for the love, obviously, nothing else. We certainly don't get paid for this. And for the listeners out there, thank you so much. And we will be back next year. But our favourite segment is got to be World of Sport. Pete, what was your favourite World of Sport for the year?
This one was the one that really, really surprised me the most. As a big cricket fan, I've been aware of the talents or otherwise of Monty Panesar on the field, with his sort of, his quite accurate spin bowling and his at times Phil Tuffnell-like fielding. But off the field, I just thought he's a fairly quiet sort of guy. And then at a nightclub in Brighton there a couple of months ago, it was reported that he urinated on a couple of bounces. He's saying it's accidental, and he thought his career was over, but he is on the plane to Australia for the upcoming Ashes tour. But I can imagine there's going to be a few banners dedicated towards his exploits if he gets a chance. But yeah, that was the one that surprised me. Quite little Monty Panesar urinating on a bouncer.
What about you, Tigers MS?
Well, I've got two. The first one is the one about the Syrian government worrying about the, I think it was Real Madrid, or it was one of the Spanish teams that their formation on the field was a map for the rebels, for their gun running.
That's right.
That was one of the best ones. The other one I liked was the story about Floyd Mayweather, who liked to make it rain in the club by throwing $100 bills in the air. That was after he signed his $200 million deal for his next six fights. So, if you ever catch me in Vegas throwing $100 in the air, you'll know why.
Guys, I'll tell you one that you might have all said had it happened slightly in a year, but luckily for us, it's just occurred. And look, after the year, the drugs and sport that we've had, let's face it, we couldn't imagine this, something like this could usurp it all, but it has. Italian runner, a long-distance runner, Devis Licardi, is alleged to have used a fake penis to beat a doping test. He apparently used the plastic penis to provide a clean sample immediately after having run a road race in Molfetta, Puglia. Licardi was tested the end of the 10,000-metre road race when he was apparently seen trying to siphon urine into the sample pot from a penis, which was evidently not his own. He reportedly told the doctor, "I'd like to be alone," but in accordance with standard drug testing procedures, his request was denied. Licardi is a member of Italy's Air Force athletic team. He was immediately reported to anti-doping authorities and faces a two-year ban if found guilty at the tribunal in Rome. Apparently, the use of fake penises by dopers is actually fairly widespread. Quite, fake penises are readily available on the internet and even come in different colours to match users' skin colour, including white, black and Latino, writes reporter Nick Squires. One website offers lifelike prosthetic penises complete with packets of dehydrated, uncontaminated urine, which can be turned liquid with chemical heat packs. A satisfied customer wrote on one website, "I passed my drug test with ease, and the person giving the test watched me pee. It is worth every penny."
Wow. Oh.
So.
What a dick today.
I don't understand. Anyway. It's like, what gives it away? Oh, the fact that you had two penises.
Yeah. So, if you float at night, search on the web for artificial penises. Don't know what the missus would say.
Basically, shut the internet down and go do something else.
Devis Licardi, thank you for giving us that gem of a world of sport right in our final week. Guys, thank you again so much for everything.
No problem.
See you next year. Enjoy the game Sunday. See you, Pete. See you, Tigers. Thank you. And that is NRL Live for season 2013. Thank you so much for downloading. And of course, you can keep following us on the air here at Bridge Sports or at TigersMS78, or simply go to our website, www.bridgesports.com.